Right. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 9. Oh, 2 Corinthians 8. And just touch a little bit for like just 10 minutes on finances, and then we're going to go over to this, the origin of the law, where the law comes from, and talk about that. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, I'm reading from the King James, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So what he's talking about here is the grace of God. You know, it's very difficult to find Paul speak on money without speaking on grace. Hallelujah. Because, let me tell you something, we live in a higher glory. The glory of the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 was shining on the face of Moses to the point that it cannot, they couldn't even look at the face of Moses. But that's a completely inferior glory to what we have today. I found many people chasing after the glory upon the mountain, looking for a mist to come into the church that can never be compared to who you are. The glory on the mountain that was shining, the mountain shaking, all of that cannot be compared with what you see standing in front of you today. Hallelujah. It cannot be compared to what you see when you go and look in the mirror. It cannot be compared to what is seated right here today. Hallelujah. For this, today you are the very body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? So don't seek something that is less than who you are. Amen. So now, when it talks about the law, when it talks about the fulfillment of the law, he came and he said, listen, there's a higher degree of glory. There's a higher way of living. There's a higher way of principles. There's a much higher way called the law of life in Christ Jesus. And that law of life, the way I see that is, when you enter into the law of life, you enter into a principle that says that His life is your life. And as He is, so are you in this world. And that includes finances, my friend. That includes money. Under the law, you can get it right to have moments of blessing, working principles. That's the glory that was shining on the face of Moses for a while. But it was fading. You get this beautiful flower like Francois explained. You get it right to plant this thing and get it up and grow, and then you see its beauty, and then it dies. I don't want to work in my finances with any principle but the law of life. There's no other law that can bring life in your finances like the revelation of the grace of God, that He was rich and He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich. And anything else is inferior to what God has done in the cross of Jesus Christ. And let's have our Sabbath when it comes to finances. And we see the glory that dwells upon the cross. And that glory is portrayed in our financial prosperity as well. Listen, man, we don't have, the church cannot walk in the prosperity of the old covenant, because they struggled just to get enough money together to build a temple. But there's a financial freedom that's been given that can take the gospel all over the world. Let me tell you now, that I believe that the manifestation of that glory is in this, like the internet system. The internet system has been designed by God so that we can preach the gospel. Do you know that if we broadcast there today, that signal goes everywhere in the world where the internet is, they can hear this. Right now, live. And do you know what it cost me to broadcast there? It's for free. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can have an internet station for free. To me, that's a higher glory in finances. The law system could never produce that. That's produced by God. I believe it with all my heart. Wherever, let me tell you something, if I've worked for something and I get that reward, I never regard it as I regard something that's given to me for free. I care better for the stuff that I received for free than the stuff that I worked for. Because it's another connectation to it. Hallelujah. I see it as a blessing of God. This is born out of Christ. So when I broadcast it, I feel so honored to have it for free. There's been this lie that says if you receive something for free, you don't regard it. That is born out of a law system. If it's for free, it's of God. Amen. Because the price that was paid for that made it available to us for free. Thank you, Jesus. So I never will feel inferior when somebody gives me something for free. I feel I'm the blessed of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to say to you, Paul never mentioned anything concerning finances outside the grace of God. Flooded with the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God, God's enablement, God's influence. You cannot speak about finances without speaking about it with the influence that Christ had upon it. Thank you, Jesus. We are rich. You know, like Francia said, and you know, sometimes there was times when I felt like maybe I'm the only person that feels like this. And then I discovered there's another guy that feels like that. There's times when I feel that I'm the richest man in the world. There's times when I feel that there's nobody as happy as what I am. I felt like there's nobody that can be as content as what I am. And this is what Paul says, I boast in the Lord. It's not because of what I've done. It is the fruit of the Word of God. It's Christ living in human flesh. Thank you, Jesus. So, please, people, the highest form of prosperity. It includes all aspects of your life. And I'm talking about money. It includes your peace. It includes your planning for the future. It includes what you think about others when it comes to money. It's contained in the message of the grace of God. And listen, one thing I want you to realize. There's a difference between mercy and grace. There's a difference between faith and belief. You can't believe for something, my friend. Listen to me. You can't believe for a car. You can't believe for health. You can't believe for anything. You don't believe for. You believe in. You believe in someone. Don't direct your faith towards stuff. Because you are taking away the truth of it. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is not directed towards your future. Faith is something that's directed towards your past. Hallelujah. Which is in Christ Jesus. So when you've got faith, it is a persuasion of what has happened. That is faith. I don't faith for something. The moment you faith for you, when I tell you when I start to faith for something, I feel that emptiness. I feel that weakness in my spirit. Faith is a persuasion of what happened. Belief is a resting of the mind in the person of God. It's not directed towards stuff. It's directed towards the person of the Creator, the person of the Creator of the universe, who did everything designed around who He was and reflected that in a human being. We don't believe, man, believing for a cell phone is foolishness. It's degrading. When it comes to stuff, you use the word hope. That's faith, hope, and love. Hope, the Bible says, faith is the substance, the foundation on which we can say, I've got a confident expectation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. So, when it comes to finances, I don't believe for money. When it comes to finances, my mind is at rest in the being of God. Listen, man. Prince Charles. You know, so many times you say, let's just work this little principle to just make sure I get something. It's like Prince Charles opening a fish and chip shop at the corner just to add a little bit to his prosperity. Maybe the man, the little bit you add takes away the dignity you have. Maybe by working that thing of, well, you know, buying and selling and getting working some principle, he could add something. But what he adds takes away who he is. When it comes to money, we live by one principle. He was rich. And he became poor so that we through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. And we've not been made rich only in finances that we've received, but we've been made rich in the very character of God. And this is what 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 says. It says, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches in Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberty. So what he was saying, the grace of God came upon people and it abounded to the riches of their liberty. They were so free that they could even give when they were poor. Oh, you're free, man. Hallelujah, that's my beautiful wife. Amen. Elena Vanitsu. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now you can see how blessed I am. Thank you, Jesus. It says, how that in great trial of affliction. I mean, trials of affliction, my friend, I want to tell you, they are in this world. It's the way it is. There's going to come times when you see you've got a lot of money. There's going to come times when you see you don't have money. But their liberty was that they don't live by that. They don't live by what they possess. That the grace of God that came upon them has made them free to even live the being of God while they are poor. They weren't conscious, is this a seed time or a harvest time? They weren't thinking about that. They were conscious of the very nature and being of God that's inside them. Under the very influence of God. Under the very influence like Paul was, where he says, the love of Christ constrains me. This is the love of God. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. You know, that can still, for you, mean nothing. But then He comes to the conclusion, He says, that we can live through Him. This is the love of God, that we can live through Him. When I stand before God, I stand in the obedience of Christ. When I stand before God, I stand in the perfection of the Creator. Because of what He's done. And don't let Satan diminish, you know, what God has done by saying that principle doesn't work in finances. We come from we live from a perspective of all prosperity. No lack, no need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He comes and tells me to lay down here. No, He who He is, His person, the revelation of the nature of God makes me lie down in green pastures. He who He is, the revelation of who God is in unconditional love portrayed in Christ makes my mind to go to rest. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the body of Christ has been robbed from this, the nature of God when it comes to money. And I thank Jesus that He's raising up people that will boldly proclaim this truth about money. Not being afraid of what man will say, but being bold in what Jesus Christ said. Let me tell you something, and maybe I shouldn't even speak about this, but I've been persecuted for preaching this. I've preached this, people write letters, they do things, you know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how fast the lie runs, the truth will always catch up. Thank you, Jesus. And people will be set free. Amen. The body of Christ, it was for freedom that we have been set free. Hallelujah. Why are we going to walk in something else? These people have not been set free only to receive finances, but they've been set free to live free from being stingy. Free from the fear of not having. Hallelujah. Listen, man. If it works with seed time and harvest time and all those type of things, I don't know where I am. In a seed time or a harvest time, I don't care. What gives me stability for my future is that all my needs are met in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can look towards the future and I know all of my needs are met by the very person of God. And who I am has got nothing to do with it. I'm talking about who I am in my fleshly man. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got everything. God has provided everything, not even knowing if I love Him. Hallelujah. And that's what we walk in. We can use all of the resources that He has supplied by His grace. We can use it all without Him even asking you, do you love me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. These people are set free. It says, for to their power I bear record. Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. These people were begging the apostles to take their money. What we find these days is preachers begging people for their money. Being a disgrace to the cross of Jesus Christ. God begging. God's not a beggar. Hallelujah. Neither are you. I want to tell you, we live in Africa. We're not beggars. We are filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. Hallelujah. And the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. And you have that fullness, the Bible says in the Afrikaans translation. You have the very fullness of God. Amen. So why will we beg people for money? People will beg. Listen, let me tell you something. You will find when you preach this in your congregation that the grace of God will start to work amongst people. Doesn't matter if they are poor or rich. They will be set free to become givers as well. They will be set free. Where the thing of what is prosperity and what is not prosperity has kept people bound never to give. They'll be set free and they'll be liberated to give. They will beg you to take their money. There'll be a thing, well, I can't take this, man. But they'll beg you to take it. I've been set free by Christ Jesus, and I shall never be enslaved under being stingy and being fearful for the future, for the message of God's grace has set me free. Thank you, Jesus. Praying us with much entreaty, these people couldn't be stopped, that we would receive the gift. Verse 5. So what it was saying is these people, they gave themselves to God. They gave themselves to us in this finances. And now Titus was sent to the church in Corinth saying, listen, man, let's look at the grace of God, the very influence of God. Mercy is God treating you better than you deserve. Grace is standing under the influence of Christ. Amen. We don't have to fear. Pastors, I want to tell you, there's no fear in perfect love. And God has loved us perfectly in the area of finances. He's loved the body of Christ perfectly. You can preach this message fearless in your church. You will see the glory of God in the eyes of people being set free from feeling obligated, feeling indebted to God with their money. People will beg us to give, but let's say they never give. I'll rather work and see a man not live with fear. Than have his money and see the fear in his eyes when it comes to the future. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've set us free. You've set us free. And thank you that you give these people that seated here, when they go to their homes, and as they are here, the utterance in how to preach this with boldness. Father, I'm not ashamed of your gospel. For your gospel in finances is what manifests the very righteousness of God. And I thank you as they go, my Father, they will have this utterance and they will speak it with boldness, and we will see the whole of the world, not just Africa, but the whole world, arise into the higher glory of finances in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Let me tell you something. And I want to just change a little bit of the terminology to just wake you up. I'm going to make a statement and explain it. You cannot receive from God. When Jesus stood up, He received all on your behalf. You know, we had this thing that God has done it, and now we must try to receive it in some way. And we don't know how to have the 5 steps to receive it. And then books are written on how to receive. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ stood up out of the dead, on behalf of man, He received all prosperity. All that you must have is a revelation of what He's received. What He inherited. He received it on your behalf. He received complete health on your behalf. And you are in Christ. And when you are persuaded of what He has done, you see the manifestation of what He has received in your body. I hope I didn't throw the whole apple cart upside down. But listen, brother, that will set you free. Because I tell you, there's been times when I look at my money, I say, my God, but how do I get this thing from heaven to earth? How do I now receive? The way you receive is by resting your mind in what Jesus received. Never take anything away from the fact that Jesus was 100% man. 100% human being. Hallelujah. And still is today. How tall is Jesus? About like this. He's a human being. Thank you. Forever our high priest. Never to be ever to be poor. Worried about money ever. Doesn't even think of it. You've got a Father that has provided. God knew that when it comes to this receiving thing, people's going to miss it. So let Jesus receive it all on behalf of man. So that people can hear what Christ has received. So they can, and then listen how easy God made it. And then through that word, He's even inside that word, He's put the ingredients to bring forth faith in the heart of a person. You know what I tell people when I preach the gospel? I say, you don't have to try to have faith. You've already received the faith in your heart. Amen. While I preach, you feel the persuasion in your heart. You feel it. All that you can do is give over to what you already are persuaded of. Because God's Word produces what it says. When I preach this about finances, I tell you, in your heart you already feel that faith. You don't have to try to have faith. This Word possesses faith. Hallelujah. Another thing about faith. I don't want to live without faith. If you tell me, well, you don't need faith to have, you know, salvation. I don't want to live like that. I want to have faith. Because do you know what faith? Imagine, I'm married to Helena, but I cannot believe in her. I cannot be persuaded of who she is. That marriage is dead. It's dead. It's useless. I thank God for faith. It's like love. It's an emotion that comes to your heart, man. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, people, You know, when you hear the gospel, you will find that faith arises, that persuasion arises, that the man Christ has received everything in the resurrection. He's done it all in His walk in this life. He paid for all of sin, took the judgment for our sins forevermore. Resurrected, not with just blood in His veins, but the glory of God flowing in His veins, in a glorified body. To the point that even if we die in this world, we will not fear. Because not even death can conquer us. Not even mortal life can conquer the fact that God has given me immortality. Even if I die, I will still be immortal in human flesh. For when He returns, the dead will rise again. And those that are alive will be changed. Not by our efforts, not by what we do, but by Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that power is released in finances. So we don't have to fear ever again. I tell you, like I've explained to you yesterday, when you sit at an airport, when I preach here, you know, do you know the liberty that there is not to be worried about what's in the bank? Because my life is not hidden in Standard Bank. My life is hidden in Christ. The Bible says, set your affection. It means say the same thing as what is in the heavens. Because your life is hidden in Christ. And you've got no other life, for Christ is your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Right. I just wanted to end the thing off of last night. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Listen, if this doesn't set you on fire, your wood is wet. Amen. We can be bold in the gospel. Amen. I always said, I wish I could preach this to the whole world, but now we're doing it. Amen. The glory of God will be revealed in people all over the world. You know, as I fellowshiped with Francois last night, now I could just see, man, I see Christ. And it's not just a confession. When I was with T.B. Joshua in Nigeria, you know, there might be things that we disagree with. But when I talk to the man, I see Jesus. When I'm here in this atmosphere, I feel heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because it's what it is. It's what it is. Amen. Thank you, my God. I want to make this statement and I want to say this. God, now, I'm going to, it's another statement that I'm going to make. It will just shock you a bit. And I'm going to explain. God did not give the law. Thank you, Jesus. God did not, and now I'm explaining, God never implemented the law between God and man. He never did that. Adam did it. And the law existed even before man was made. It was an idea and a concept that came out of the mind of Satan, not God. For the law is called in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, the ministration of death. How can it come from God? For in Him is life and there's no darkness. The law is called the ministration of death. The Bible says in Psalm 23 verse 6, it says, I think it's verse 6. It says, even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the ministration of death? It's the law. Even if I go through the shadow, the condemnation that the law shines upon me or throws over me, I will fear no evil. Even if the law condemns me, I will not have any evil. What is the law? The law was something that came and stood between God and man. Like this, like God is the light. And the law was implemented by man as a system to be like God between God and man. It was something that was implemented by Adam saying, listen, by doing these things I will be like God. I'm going to explain that now from Genesis chapter 3. And that law came in between God and man. It was not God separating man. It was man getting a system in his mind so that he could be alienated in his mind from what God says about him. Even after man implemented the law, God came in the cool of the day and called Adam. From God's side, he didn't separate him. But man came and he said, I'll be like God by a system. I'll be like God by rules and regulations. I'm going to be like God by having a become mentality and not an I am mentality. And brought that thing. And the moment that happened, the first thing that he had was a consciousness of guilt that came into his mind. Never think that the law was only, the law only came when it was given to Moses in written format. The Bible says death reigned from Adam to Moses. Where does death come from? From the ministration of death, which was then later written and engraved on stones. The law was holy, and the written law was given by God to people in written format. God did take the law in written format and write it down and gave that written law to people. But the origin of it is not God. The first implementation of it between God and man was not God. It was man being deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam went with a thing. We're going to look at that. So, just to give you a background on where I'm going to go. That's why, if we still see the law in itself, the commandments that's written down, is holy. Because it stands for holiness. It's actually a reflection of who you are in Christ. That's it. So, when I see the law, when I read the law, I don't see, well, I must do that. I just see who I am. Okay, so I'm not afraid of the law anymore. I'm not afraid of the law. But I want to define law. We think the law is the Ten Commandments. No, that's the Ten Commandments. It's Ten Commandments. The law is a mentality. The law is what I call an I become mentality. Not an I am mentality. And if you've got an I become mentality, you're under the law. And then you can add in any commandments, whatever you like, in order to become what you don't believe you are. Right, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that the ministration of death was written and engraved on stones. What did the tree of the knowledge of good and evil minister unto man? What was its ministry? What did it administer? Death. Okay. So, that ministration that was written down in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, on stones, existed in the Garden of Eden, clearly. The law, the devil came and said, listen, man, Eve, did God say, you're not allowed to eat of this thing? He said, yeah, God said, you're not allowed to eat of this. We're not even allowed to touch this, lest we die. Remember, there was the Ark of the Covenant that was brought on a cart. And there was a man that touched it, and he died. Because it contained the ministration of death. Man's ability to be like God. Man's ability, man's hand to be like God, you'll die. There's no life. Man trying to be like God by his own efforts. It's impossible. Cannot happen. And here, let's read on. And the serpent said unto the woman, yes, surely sorry, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know, in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. That word gods there is the plural of Elohim in the Hebrew. Knowing good and evil. Now listen to the temptation. The temptation was this. They were already like God. They were already like God. But then he said, you can now be like God by a different way. Not by God living in you. So he didn't tell them you're going to be less than what you are. He said you're going to be exactly the way you are, but the difference is this. You'll be your own God. You'll be like God without God. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. For God does know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You'll see a new way. And you will, through that way, be as Elohim, by what principle? By knowing good and evil. They were like God by a different principle. By the principle of life. Which was, God blew the breath of life into them. He took the Ruach, He took His Spirit, and put it inside human flesh. And therefore, that human flesh was like God. It was as God is. I want to say it this way. It was exactly like God because of God that was inside it. And the temptation was this. You can be exactly what you are right now, but not by God that indwells you. But by knowing right and wrong, doing the right thing, and then be like God. So the desire of man, man's core desire that is killing him, is to be like God. Is to be righteous. Remember yesterday I said that there's corruption in this world through lust, and that lust is not lust of a woman. Or lust of stuff. It's a lust to be like God. Added to a system that can never make you like that. Listen to the temptation. Are you seeing this? Is it clear or should I explain it again? And listen to this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So she saw. Listen, man. This tree... This system of knowing right and wrong, and doing the right thing, knowing what is good and what is not good, doing the good thing, it can provide for me. Here I'm in the Garden of Eden, God has provided everything for me. So she was weighing up. Well, what do I have in God? And what can I have in this system? In God I've got provision. Okay, can this system provide for me? Yeah, it can provide for me. It can make me like God. I can have my own garden. I can work and get my own garden and be like God and provide my own place. The temptation was never to be evil. They were never tempted with what is evil. They were like we see evil today. When you start to see this, you start to get a different definition to what is evil. And when you read the writings of Paul and he talks about evil, you see evil as something different. Evil is not those sins you commit. Evil is a different mindset. It's the mindset that says, I am not, I'll become. And they were tempted with this thing that says, listen, you can now be like God. You are like God now, but by knowing this thing, you can now become like God and be like Him by knowledge of right and wrong. And then she said, well, let me look at this thing. And I believe she was talking to the devil. And he was showing the system. Selling the mindset. You know, listen how this principle works, man. You've got the ability to do this. Just know what's right. Do you know when you are in righteousness and you hear, man, you must just know what's right and do what's right. It feels easy because right is inside you. But what she was deceived in was she didn't know that all the right that was in her will be removed from her. And out of nothing, she has to decide what's right. Okay. When she saw it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. In other words, it can bring beauty. Because that's what she was. Beautiful. She says she saw just another source of beauty, another source of provision. That's why I don't want to hear anything of the law when it comes to finances, because it's this death thing. And then it says, and the tree, a tree desirable to make one wise. Huh? Man, this thing can be desired because it contains so much wisdom. Because the law stands for everything that is like God. It's like I said, when you look at the law, it looks just like God. And then it says, listen, you can be just like that, but not by that being given to you for free, but by you knowing that and then trying to be like that. To become, you can become something else. You are this, but you can become just like this in something else. That's the law. That's the ministration of death. And that thing then was engraved on stones in 10 commandments. In Matthew 5, 6, 7, God just added the list. He could have given other commandments. He could have given other commandments. He could have, you can just take Matthew 6 and write there, love your neighbor like this. If somebody steals from you, give more. Write it on those stones. It's the very same system. And what happens is people come to a place and say, we're not into the law anymore. You know, we know the Ten Commandments, it has been fulfilled. But you've got another list. The Beatitudes. You've got another list. Still under the law. That list is, well, you know, we don't have to wear a tie anymore. We are now free, but we must lift our hands so the presence of God can come down. You're still under the law, my friend. The law is, I must become. The law is... The law is, I want knowledge of what is right and wrong, and through this right knowledge, I'll do the right thing, and then I'll be like God. Right. Did God tell them to eat of the tree? Of the knowledge of good and evil? No. So, clearly, God didn't instigate the thing. You might say, but why did God put the tree there? Listen, these things are... When you think of the garden... of Eden, don't think of physical trees, man. Because we are trees of righteousness. Amen. It talks about mindsets and belief systems. And when He made man, He made him in His very likeness and in His very image. And God, in His mind, knew about what Satan has done and his fall, which was a mindset that said, well, I'll become like God. He was already created like God. Go and read the account in Isaiah and the account in Ezekiel. You will see the two. If you connect the two, you will see it says that He was on the mountain of God. He walked amongst the stars. Already. That's how God made Him. Beautiful. But then He said, I'll put myself on the mountain of God. So He was on the mountain of God, but then He said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be what I am because of God that made me like this. I want to have this in the source of my own power. And He said, God, what You've done for me is wonderful. But I don't want this because of You in me. I want to be my own God on this mountain by my own power and my own ability. And then God said, in heaven there's no place for such a mindset. It's only God in everything or nothing. For there's only one real God. We know that there's no other God. There's only one God. And that's what makes us godly. There's a scripture that says, we are gods. Let me explain that. You're not a God on your own. You are like God because of God in you. That's why. You're not a God on your own because there is only one God. The Bible says you believe that God is only one. You are good. Jesus said it. That's right. There's only one God. But then that's why He says you shall bring no other gods before Me. I don't want anybody else because only God can out of who He is be that. And if you don't get that as a gift, you will never be like that. So Satan came with that system beforehand. And when God made man in His very likeness, in His very image, He took all that He knew and He placed it inside a man's brain. And that was the planting of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they knew about that tree. Because God knew about it. That's why it was planted. It wasn't God planting it there to see if He can test man. He gave him all the knowledge that He also has. And then somebody came between the trees, between these mindsets or whatever, Satan. And he started to speak to Eve and say, Eve, you know what? God is actually worried that you will be just like Him. By a different system. In other words, there'll be another God that arises before God, free from God. Born out of the will of the flesh that John chapter 1 talks about. And then she saw, listen, what am I going to do? Can this system provide for me? Yeah, the system can provide for me. Can the system give me wisdom? What is wisdom? The correct action upon truth. Can it give it to me? In the New Testament, Christ became the wisdom of God unto us. He became the correct action upon truth for me. Hallelujah. And we can walk in His wisdom. Can I become wise through this system? Yes, I can. And he looked at all of it and then implemented it. They ate. They said, I eat this. Now, how do we eat? Eat is to believe. How do we eat the body and the blood of Jesus? How do we eat it? He says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you've got no part in me. How do you eat? Believe. Just believe. Being persuaded. Resting your mind. She started to rest her mind in that system. And Adam was also in the whole thing. Adam wasn't deceived. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew he had to give up all of his godliness. He knew he had to give up everything there. He knew he was not deceived. But he said, let's take a shot. Let's try. And he did it. And found that he was naked. Because the moment you are stripped from what you've been given for free, you are naked, my friend. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's just nothing. I tell you, I don't think there's anybody that has ever felt emptiness like Adam felt that day. When he was stripped of all life inside him. Adam at that time, and this is the way I understand it, the representative of man. And the last Adam, Jesus, the representative of man. And the moment he partook, I thank God that he came in all wisdom and said, let him get out of this garden, that he cannot eat of the tree of life in this state and live forever. So that he can die. So that the last Adam can come. Because if he wouldn't have died, he would have been the representative forever. And he would have been damned forever. And I thank God that he could die. So that Jesus could come. The last Adam that got it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus was called the Son of God. Why? Because it was God's Word. It was prophesied. This is my Son. When he was born, this is my Son. You know, he was speaking about his Son. He was prophesying all the time. When he was baptized, this is my beloved Son. In whom I am well pleased. Seeing the whole of the world in that one man. Having pleasure in you. And then when he went into the desert, he was tempted of the devil. The very same way Adam and Eve was tempted. Exactly the same way. That was, he was in the Garden of Eden. In the desert. And Satan came. Between all the thoughts that was in his mind. I don't have money. I'm poor. I'm sitting here, I haven't even drinking water. For 40 days. You know, when you go into a desert for 40 days, you can lose your mind. When they lock you up in a cell, you know, for 2 weeks with no light, you can become mad. He was there, and in the time of weakness, here comes Satan. And he says, what he actually was saying is, listen, man. You can be like God. You can be like God by doing something. By works. Exactly what he said in the beginning. By works, you can be like God. All that you must do is find your sonship in your ability to produce a miracle. In other words, what he was saying is, Strip yourself from being the son of God because God said so, and because God indwells you, and because His Spirit is in you. And put that aside and say, I am not God because God said so. I'm not the son of God because God said so. I'm the son of God because I can produce something. That would be a re-implementation of the law. The mindset of, I am not. Because if he had to take off that, he first had to acknowledge, I am not the son of God. I'll become one now by doing this. But thank God for the wisdom. And he said, no. I don't live by works. I live by the word that came from the mouth of God. When I was baptized, he spoke it. I am the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve didn't do that. And they implemented a system between man and God. And God, that system was there. And let's go to Matthew 5 quickly. Listen, guys. You must know, I don't read a lot of books. And I don't listen to a lot of other people's messages. So I can say things that maybe has been said in another way here. You know. Because I don't know what other people have preached here. I just know what I know. You know, and I preach that. And you must listen to it and put it in the category in your mind as you see it. You know, and as God reveals this to you. But I'm just preaching what I'm giving my contribution. You know, and what I feel in my heart. Right. And if you see it in a better way, you know, in a more liberating way, come and speak to me. If it's not in a more liberating way, leave it. Matthew 5 verse 17, it says, why am I not seeing it now? Verse 17, think that I've come to destroy the law, or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So there was a man that said, listen, man will be like God by works. Man will be like God by a holy life. The only way that holy life could ever be done was by God incarnated into human flesh, because no normal man would ever be able, without God incarnated into human flesh, live up to the standard of the law. So God said, there's a system that man implemented between me and him. And the only way for man to get here, because of the covenant he made, not God, he. The only way for man to be righteous again is by living up to the very life of God. It's not just the Ten Commandments. Forget the Ten Commandments, man. It's by human flesh being like God. And the only way for it to be done was God incarnating himself into that flesh. Because that was the only way that flesh could ever be like God. And in that, he fulfilled the law. And this is what it says here. Listen. He says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one point or comma shall in any way pass from the law, till it be fulfilled. So what was he saying? He says there was a law that must be fulfilled. For if this law is not fulfilled, heaven and earth will pass away, but that thing will stand. But if somebody can fulfill it, in other words, fulfill is do. He says, the law and the prophets. How is a prophecy fulfilled? A prophecy is fulfilled if it happens. How's the law fulfilled? If somebody can do it. But nobody could love the Lord their God with all their heart. Nobody could love their neighbor as themselves, except God. So God, to be fair, said, listen, if one man could dump, because God is a just and a righteous God, if one man can dump people into unrighteousness, then it's only fair if one man can bring them into righteousness. So let me become that man. And like a beautiful explanation that I heard from Francho about righteousness being a scale. And God was in heaven. And he put all his holiness. And everything, if it must be translated into, if the character of God must be translated into works. That's called commandments. He placed everything in there. And he said, let me incarnate myself into human flesh. And that's the only way this thing is going to balance out. God balances out God. And he placed himself in human flesh and balanced this thing out. And that needle said, righteous. Hallelujah. And in such a way, he fulfilled the law. Because that law would forever be between man and God until somebody could do all the requirements. And God said, I don't want this to be between man and God, so let me send somebody, because this heaven and earth will be worn out, and there will still not be any man that in his own ability can do this thing, so that it can forever be gone between me and man. So if I don't do it now, it will be forever. So let me do it and get this thing over and done with. That there's no such a covenant. And I thank God that when Jesus Christ stood up out of the grave, He's forever with an unending life, our high priest, that there can never be any law between man and God again. Any mentality. You know, when Jesus Christ died, He died as a man under the law. So that anybody that could ever relate to God on that system, that man doesn't exist anymore. The people that live out there are just deceived. Ignorant. Living under a system that doesn't exist anymore between God and man. Doesn't exist. It's dead. When Christ died, man, listen, and Paul says so beautifully, let's go to Romans chapter 7. The origin of the law, people, was not God's plan. The origin and my definition of the law, listen to me, sometimes you hear this thing and you must hear it again. Let me say it again. I don't see the law as the Ten Commandments, although it is referred to in the Bible a couple of places as the law. But listen to me, I see the law as a mentality that says, I am not, I must become. That's the law. That's the ministration of death. When you eat thereof, you die. I tell you, the moment you get under teaching concerning finances, it tells you you're not rich. And you believe at that moment you're dead. Before I've even told you how to get rich. The moment you believe that, that's the end of your peace right now. But thank God that you are not the representative of all of men. Because if you were and you believed it right there, then it was all over for all of us. But maybe just over for your emotions for now. You know? But we can then read the Word and hear the Gospel again. Our minds can be renewed. Amen. So, the law is that mentality of I'm not. I must become. Well, we're not righteous. Somebody comes and take your works. And by your works, it shows you this. The moment you believe. Well, let me use a very good example. Revival. We must get a revival. The moment you believe it, you're under the law. Before there's any commandment, before there's any prayer discussion or how to get, you're already concerning revival in your mind dead. Because it's absence of the truth. It's absence of revival. The moment you say, I must get a revival, you are saying, I'm not in revival. And you are denouncing what has happened upon the cross in Jesus Christ. You say that is not relevant. You're denying that godliness that's been given to you. Maybe not cognitively. You know, Eve was also deceived, you know. So, and well, let's put this away. And we will now be in a place where we need revival. And now we're going to get to a revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just touch on something here. Maybe you will hear some teachings. When it comes to immortal flesh, immortality, I don't try to attain that. If the glory of God that is in me doesn't manifest that, I'm not even trying to reach it. It will kill me. I'll become mad in my head. Because I will look in the mirror and I will see grey hair. And that will be my indicator. No. The glory of God. The Bible says the very Spirit of God that's in me is the down payment, the proof, the receipt that says that this flesh shall be immortal. So I don't try to reach something I've got. Even if I die, I don't care. For my reality is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, when it comes to men of God, being powerful men of God, you know, we're going to now be this man of God with the anointing, with the power for the hour. We must now produce these miracles. I'm a great man of God if I can preach loud. I'm a great man of God if I can shout. I'm a great man of God if I can just sweat right. Just walk right. It's like my brother said, there's somebody on television you saw. This guy walks with a suit in Zimbabwe. And he says, if you are not dressed like me, you don't have my faith. Man, just kick the guy. Get him off the pulpit. He's wasting. He was a visitor to Zimbabwe. A visitor from a place that's rich. Well, I must become that man of God. The moment you say, I must become a man of God, you're under the law, my friend. You're under the law. That was the implementation of the law. The law is a belief system. Forget, when you think of law, forget about, that's why I say, you know, any principle that there is that says, I am not, I must become. I don't want to hear that. That's the law. Kills you right there. Right there you're in the law. Amen. Well, we'll continue in the next session. We're going to take a break. Yes. The law have not, that still exists in this sense. If you want to live by it, you can. But it doesn't exist between me and God in Christ Jesus. But that flesh system, and that's like the Garden of Eden. You know, that tree is still planted there. Because it's knowledge of history. That's just what has happened. You know, and that you can still decide today. Listen, I want to live by that system. That's what Paul writes. And he says those that want to implement the law in their life, they must live by the law. They must, yeah, you must now do it. It still exists. You know, even, but let me tell you, I believe there's going to come a time when this very nature, everything that's here will be completely taken up in this revelation. And with a complete revelation of Christ. And it says that every element, I haven't gone into that now, but every element will be consumed with His glory. Amen. That there will not be the law of gravity. There will not even be the law of no law. Not even in nature. Because the Bible says this nature waits for the revelation of the sons of God. They can be turned into the very same glory. And then when it talks about that in Peter, it talks about the burning up of every element. That element also speaks of rudiments or basic principles. Be taken away. The basic principle of this world. Whenever you hear Jesus and Paul talk about the law, you will not hear them talk about the law of God. They'll say, your law. Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, your law says. Your law says. Your law says. Because it wasn't God's law. Now I'm saying it in this way. It was God's law. I don't know how to say this correctly. But it was God's law written down. God's law. But the system that says I'm not, it's not God's. That's our law. Man implemented it. The origin. Now listen. Okay, we'll get into this in the next session about the seed. The different seeds there are. And why Jesus called the Pharisees born of Satan. You know, I know that all of man comes of God. I believe that. But the man that was manifesting there, that man that hated Christ, that was born of something else. Okay, and he calls them snakes. Why? Why does he call him a snake? Because it comes from the serpent in the beginning that first sold that thought pattern. And they were working and laboring for the law. Amen. I am not, I must become.